Romans 14. Verse 5. Romans 14, verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be persuaded, be fully persuaded in his own mind. That's the words that I want. Let every man, or let everyone, be fully persuaded in his own mind. You might have seen a bumper sticker. There's quite a few of them out there. I never seen this one before. It says, my parrot knows more than your honor student. You ever see that one? And underneath it, it's depicting all the different religions of the world. You have the Muslims, the Hindus, Christianity with the cross, and a few others. I've seen that bumper sticker. The car was parked in the Gospel Hall parking lot. The people weren't in the Gospel Hall. But, so I was interested in that. What does that mean? What is the thought behind that? Every bumper sticker has a something behind it, some thought or something behind it. And of course the thought is, all you guys out there that are religious, you've all been brainwashed. And my parrot knows more than your honor student. Or my parrot knows as much or more than your honor student. In other words, what you believe, you have been taught, brainwashed into it. That's the thought, right? Well, how about it? Have we been brainwashed into this? How real is this? How real is Christianity? How real is the Lord's coming? Is it something that you've been taught and only that, or are you fully persuaded in your mind? This word in Romans 14 is it doesn't appear that many times in the New Testament, but you find it in Luke chapter 1. You remember when it speaks about the things which are most surely believed among us. That's the same word, being fully persuaded in our own mind. Also, it is the same word that it's in Romans chapter 4. Paul, again, is the writer. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able also to perform. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. It's the same word, to be fully persuaded in your own mind. Not fully persuaded because someone else has persuaded you, but to be fully persuaded in your own mind. So, I would ask you the question today, how can I be fully persuaded? Or how can I be fully convinced apart from or independent of any indoctrination imposed upon me? How is that going to happen? In my early days of anything that I had to do with religion, I have to confess to you that it was something that was imposed upon me. And one day, I sort of sat down and reflected and said, asked myself, is this all true? When it came to the question of salvation by faith, salvation, that we know very well, comes from not of works, lest any man should boast. Then you have to sit down and you have to ask yourself the question, what I have been taught is all wrong. So I have to be fully persuaded in my own mind, right? And then think of the assembly. Well, the first place that I was, first religious building that I was brought into was the gospel hall. So all I ever knew was the gospel hall and what the teaching that was took place there. And if the man that brought me to the Lord, I have full confidence in him that he explained the gospel to me right, then of course I have full confidence in him that he is going to tell me where the right church is. But I wasn't fully persuaded in my own mind. I was going on what his mind was. And so one day I had to sit down, same thing, I had to ask myself the question, well, am I fully persuaded about this? Is it, what am I conviction based on here? What do I really believe? So are you interested to, do you want to go through that test today? I'm going to give you a few points to help you as far as this question is concerned about being fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded today, or are you just doing what your parents are telling you to do? Now, it's a good thing to do what your parents tell you to do, but there's one, it has to come, the time has to come in my life when I have to sit down and I have to be fully persuaded in my own mind. So, how can I be fully persuaded? Well, of course, the first thing that comes to your mind, well, you have to be fully persuaded by the Bible. Yeah. Would it surprise you to tell you, if I would tell you this, that the Bible tells us of being convinced in my mind about God and about eternal things without the Bible? I'm going to say that again. The Bible tells us of being convinced without the Bible. How can I be convinced that there is a God and that these things that we are speaking of this weekend are real? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly concerning nature, doesn't it? Now, I'm not going to go into all the details about nature and about Romans 2, how it convinces us of the fact of an existing God, a creator, and so on. But it has struck me lately, just this point, that it used to be, years past, it used to be that God would convince the sinner by the things of creation and the things that are, that God is, the moon that he has placed in the skies and the stars and so on, and how wonderful it is, and the mighty hand of God. God created all things, and by faith we believe that, as the Hebrew epistle tells us. But I think in this day of 2013 that we have more than that. In this day we know about moving planets. We know about moving asteroids. We know about moving bodies out there. And we know as well that the Earth is a planet that's only a few thousand times smaller than the sun, or smaller than most heavenly bodies out there. We know that today. And men of science tell us about all the movement that's going on beyond the Milky Way and all the Think of this. In all that's going on, the earth is still here. The earth has not been struck by another flying body. Is it, I just forget the name of it, this asteroid that's 1,400 miles, or is it kilometers, wide? Did you hear about this body that scientists are looking at? It's going to hit the Earth. Just lately, I read an article that it's not going to hit the Earth now. It's changed the course. Is this all accidental? Or is there a God out there that's controlling it? Eh? Isn't it a marvel that all through these years that something has not struck the earth to destroy it? So this in itself would tell me that there is a mighty creator hand. There is a mighty God out there. And God is going to fulfill his purpose as far as this world is concerned and as far as you and I are concerned. And there is precious thoughts and precious, the counsel of God is all centered on this little planet, this little world that we call Earth. And his people are here, Israel is here, and the church is here. Something else that will tell me about the existence of God and about the fact of these things are real is the inner voice of my conscience. Now, you've probably heard some of these things before, I'm sure. But we'd like to remind this is very important, I believe, in this day and age of people, as I've said, that think that all we have is based upon what old people have taught us. I don't care what part of religious ceremony people follow. It doesn't matter what corner of the world or how educated. We're all the same as far as a conscience is concerned. Why is that? The conscience is there. To the fact that we are conscious of a creator. Oh, some folks might call him a god, a creator, something else, but they're conscious. There's a conscience of God, there's a conscience of sin. This is not something that has been put there, that has been imposed upon us. It is something that's there, isn't it? The circumstances of life is something else. When I think of the circumstances of life, in my case, how I was brought to the gospel, it wasn't in my program at all. Like some folks are brought up in Christian homes, you know, and they're going to hear the gospel, and it's only normal for them to sit in the gospel meeting, and you sort of feel after a while that, well, you know, if you brainwash them enough, you know, if you tell them enough times that you have to believe on the Son, well, finally they'll believe, you know, and they can sort of get brainwashed into it. Well, it's not my case. I was far away like the prodigal son, had no thought of eternity. But here, the circumstances of life were brought so that I was in the same place where a Christian was, and he spoke to me about, is this an accident? This is not something now that I was pressured into. This is something that God was controlling. And so there are things in life that you can see that it is not, it is God. God is out there. God is real. God is living. Did you ever think of how many times and why that expression is found so many times in the Bible? The living God. It's because he lives through circumstances. And he lives through the experiences of life. Another thing that I was thinking of is the Bible records not only what I should do and what I shouldn't do with my life, but the Bible also records others that have had experiences before me. this is a wonderful book, you know, in that sense. It is a history book, and it tells us of what others experienced before me. So if I go through a certain experience, something, I look in the Bible and I see, hey, someone's gone through that before me. So the Bible tells us of experiences that others have gone through, and that it doesn't matter what the experience is. It doesn't matter if you're brought up in a Christian home or if you're brought up not in a Christian home, or if you're brought up in the faraway heathen land, if you've never heard the name Jesus before the age of 30 years old. God has placed in his word experiences of people that you can relate to. I think this point here, very vital. A Bible understanding of a point of truth as conversion. A Bible understanding of a certain point of truth, not imposed upon me by somebody else. It's something that I understood. It is something that I understood particularly for myself. In my case, the verse was there, the scripture was there, the thought was there, and I cannot, in my case, it was not because someone had pressured me into it. I just sort of, as I first thought, fell upon it. In the case of conversion, is it not the case? Everyone who is converted, God has spoken to you through a certain part of Scripture. It might be through a verse of a hymn that's based on Scripture, true. But the Word of God is sharp, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can be used to speak to someone independently of any pressure. That's why we don't believe in pressure, by the way, when we are talking to someone in connection with their soul salvation. But how about the rest of Christian life? Does it stop there? Certainly not. In connection with your life being guided by the Spirit of God, in connection with assembly life, in connection with what you should do as a Christian, God is going to use his word to speak to you on certain points of truth. Well, you will have to read the Bible to get that. So I hope you read the Bible every day. But in reading the scriptures, God can speak to you and speak to me. And that's a wonderful thing when we think of it. Independently of any pressure, God can speak to me and he can guide me through life. Now, of course, we are not saying by that men are not used of God, and women too. But you see, we're dealing with this point. We're dealing with this thought, with this philosophy, that Christianity or any religion has been imposed upon one. And my text this afternoon is, let every one be fully persuaded in his own mind. Are you fully persuaded in your mind as to what you believe? You know, that was Lot's problem. Lot's problem was that he was depending upon the convictions of another, of his uncle Abraham. And as long as they were walking together, everything was fine. But you see, he was not fully persuaded in his own mind. And so it is the downfall of Christians today. They are not fully persuaded in their own mind. And they have not bothered, maybe, to get fully persuaded in their mind. They have not maybe thought it was that important. My mom and dad, they believe this. They've always believed this. My granddad, my grandmother. And so it must be right. So I don't have to really think too much about it. And you won't. And you'll get along all right until there's a point of trial comes. And then you'll be shaken. And then you're going to start to wonder, and maybe then it'll be too late. I was thinking, you know, that God can speak to us through the scriptures, and he can speak to us through nature, as I've said. But God can also speak to us through the very simple logic, or our logical way of thinking. God has given us the ability to reason. It's not like your dog or your cat. He has given you an ability. He has given you a way to reason things out. Did you ever wonder why that is? Now, if you use logic, and only logic, and you leave all the other points that I've mentioned out of it, well, you're going to be in trouble. But do not take away logic. I don't believe in the Muslim doctrine. You know why? Well, you say they go around killing people. No, they don't all do that. No, there's just a military wing of their doctrine that does that. And by the way, if you look down in history, you'll find that Christianity, so to speak, had a military wing in the past too. No, the reason why I don't believe in the Muslim doctrine is because they got no answer when it comes to sin. Logic. So that's the same reason for why I'm not a. They have no answer when it comes to sin. Oh, there's all kinds of good works, all kinds of faithfulness, all kinds of praying. There is no answer when it comes to sin. Why do I go to the gospel hall? Because they preach the answer to sin. I noticed, I counted them in Tampa, churches in the yellow pages. There's 10 pages full, all kinds of churches. I don't think in any of these names of churches that I found the word gospel once. Oh, well, you say they preach the gospel. Fine. If they preach the gospel, why don't they say it? Why don't they say it? Eh? When I see gospel on a building, I see, well, there's a place where the gospel is preached. So I'm interested to go to a place where the gospel is preached. So that's why I go to a gospel hall. Someone said, I don't belong to the gospel hall. The gospel hall belongs to us. And we know what it means, what they mean by that. I don't believe in the gospel hall as a denomination. I don't believe that. Sorry, don't believe it. I go to a gospel hall. See the difference? The gospel hall, it circles all the gospel halls together. There's a denomination. There's the gospel hall denomination. I don't believe that. I believe a place where the gospel is preached, sure, you should call it a gospel hall because that's where the gospel is preached. They have the answer. Now, I know there's much more to it than that, as far as assembly is concerned and as far as the reason why they gather, and I'm not going to go into that. But just to look at it simply, God expects us to use our logic when it comes to truth, when it comes to certain points of truth, when it comes to where do I go, what do I belong to. God expects to use certain logic, certain points of truth. And so, as I've mentioned, if the if there's a problem here, and if my conscience has bothered me, and I need a remedy for this problem that I have of sin, well, where am I going to go to get the answer? And so you go to where the gospel is preached. Thank God for every place that preaches the gospel. We're not here to say that, and it would be very small of me and very ignorant of me to say that the only place that the gospel is preached in the gospel is in the gospel hall. That would be very ignorant of me to say that, and I'm not saying that. But we thank God for every place, and we thank God for any what God has used in the past and what God is using today in connection with convincing me and convicting you. You know, a conviction is a great thing if it's based on the Word of God. Right? A conviction. I am convicted. I am fully persuaded in my own mind. Oh, it started out by someone telling me something. It started out by my parents telling me that. But then the time came when I was fully persuaded in my own mind. That happened to you? I trust that this weekend will be a help, that you will be fully persuaded that what you got, what you treasure, what you believe, what you have heard already at this conference, that you are fully persuaded in your mind.